As of late, we've been getting a lot of support with the podcast, and that's exciting. That's fun. We've been doing it for almost 2 years, and I'm going to keep doing it because I love it and it's fun. But we get new listeners all the time, all over the world, and that's a neat, thing that really, that's just exciting to see that you create something, you put something out there into the world, and people find it and listen and enjoy and benefit. So thank you, all of you. Thank you, everybody that's reached out. Thank you, everybody that has subscribed. Thank you, everybody that has taken a little bit of extra effort and told somebody about the podcast or shared the podcast in some way, shape, or form. That's always super cool. As always, go to energyislovepodcast.com. That's our website. And find everything there. Every place that you can listen. iHeartRadio, YouTube, Spotify, Stitcher, any podcasting app that you have the ability to stream podcasts through, you can find our podcast. So it's really, really, really easy to find. It still cracks me up when I talk to people and they're like, what's a podcast? So then you got to go through the fun effort of trying to explain what a podcast is. And then usually I end up grabbing their phone and just pulling it up and subscribing for them so that they know how to listen. But thank you everybody for the support. And this is episode something or another. I think it's 98, 99, something like that. Like I said, we're getting super close to 100. So congratulations to me. So recently I was in California. I was in California for work setting up some tanks, some dream pods. And I came across this amazing kid. His name's Tristan Henley. And Tristan is 21 years old and he is a wingsuit flyer. So not only does he skydive, not only does he base jump, but he does the wingsuit stuff. And if you're not familiar with what that is, then you're, I don't know where you've been for the last several years, but go online in YouTube and search out some wingsuit stuff so that you can see what it really is. These people are, I don't want to say they're crazy because after talking with Tristan, he's not necessarily some crazy young kid. He's very level-headed, very smart. He was super fun to chat with and he just has a passion for getting up in the air. And I'm incredibly not just jealous. I am jealous because I want to do it, but I think it's amazing that there's people out there in the world that make this their hobby, their life, their work, really their passion at the end of the day. So in this episode, it's just me sitting down with Tristan and really I'm just geeking out over all the different fun things that he gets to do because I want to learn more about it. It was fun to hear about it. He's done some incredible things. He's traveled the world. He's been able to, like I said, turn this passion for not just skydiving, but jumping out of planes and jumping off of buildings and objects and all sorts of different stuff into something that he does all the time. So thank you, Tristan, for taking the time to be on the podcast. Hopefully you guys enjoy this. This is a new, different little episode for the podcast. I've never had the opportunity to speak to somebody who does this. And that's the cool thing is I get to come across people in my travels and say, hey, you want to be on the podcast? And Tristan was down. So you guys get a benefit. But sit back for now, relax. Oh, by the way, before you do that, go to Instagram. It's Tristan_flies, F-L-I-E-S, Tristan_flies. Go check him out on Instagram and you can see some of his pictures and some little clips of what he does and it's badass. But we'll have all those links in the show notes and if you go to our Facebook page, you can find links for that as well. But for now, sit back, relax, and enjoy this wonderful episode with Tristan Henley, wingsuit flyer, skydiver, base jumper, all-around badass. Here we go.
You're listening to the Energy is Love podcast.
Energy is love.
The Energy is the Love podcast.
The Energy is Love podcast.
Energy is love.
The Energy is Love podcast.
The podcast for the universe.
The Energy is Love podcast.
And that's it. Like, I always think I need to come up with some other way to say, go, this is it, go, now's your turn to talk. Because it's always so awkward. I'm like, okay, we're done with the silent part, now we get to speak. And then people just sit there and look at me, they're like, okay.
Yeah, might as well just keep it simple, right?
Yes. So, thank you very much, sir. I'm very, very excited to get a chat with you.
Yeah, no problem.
I literally know almost nothing about you except what your dad's told me, and that's why I wanted to talk to you.
And likewise.
So then we get to learn a little bit about each other, right?
Yeah.
So Tristan, first and foremost, this kind of Like, this is the worst thing to do in podcasting when you sit there and tell somebody, just tell us about yourself. And I don't want you to tell me about yourself. I want to know, first off, because your dad told me that when you were a teenager back in the day, you had this summer job where you used to go and pack shoots. And that's how you got into this whole lifestyle, this whole thing, this what you do now.
Yeah.
And so tell me about that. Tell me what it was like as a teenager going to, I mean, what was it, like a generic airport where they just happened to skydive, or what was it?
Well, it's just a place in Lodi. It's called the Parachute Center. It's been there for ages. It's been around probably since the mid 80s in that location specifically.
What's it called? The Parachute?
The Parachute Center in Lodi, California, right off the highway. You can see it like as you're driving down the road, people are always landing. Really intriguing to look at, kind of swerve off the road sometimes. but it's kind of odd. It's definitely a sport of older people. So you're definitely like a young kid and like a big pond of fish, you know? So
yeah. How old were you?
When I first started packing, I was probably early 14, and yeah, probably youngest person after that. At the drop zone, I was probably 20, 23, 24. So at least a 10-year gap we're talking. So.
And why, like, what was interesting for you at the time? Because I can think back to when I was 14, and that would have been the coolest fucking summer job ever. But what was it for you that wanted, you know, why did you want to go do it? What was it, what appealed to you about it?
Well, I saw my dad go skydiving for his 35th birthday, I think. And the day I saw it, I was like, okay, when I'm old enough, I got to do this. It looks pretty fucking sick. And then I happened to come into contact with a friend through my mom, actually, in the yoga community. One of her friends is, her boyfriend was like in this kind of community, he was a wingsuiter, already. And we had met, hit it off. He was talking to me. He's like, you want to like maybe come out, make some money, like see what it's all about. Maybe pay for your skydives after that with the parachutes you're packing. And I was like, well, hell yeah. I'm not making any money now. My weekends are pretty boring. Let's see how this starts.
And you had to quit your full-time job as a 14-year-old to go work.
Yeah. So I just like could stop hanging out with my young friends and go meet these old people and hang out.
Yeah. What was it like the first time? Like,
it's so weird. Like that place specifically, it kind of has like an ambiance to it. It's, there's like banners hanging from the ceiling, old parachutes. So it's all kind of nostalgic. Like you don't even know like what skydiving nostalgia is. And you walk in and it's just like this wonderland of skydiving and all these old parts, old rigs. It's just, it's pretty like run down and dirty and dingy, but it's kind of like the, what brings you into it kind of.
Yeah. It's got that feeling to it.
Yeah. But yeah, you kind of just walk in and you're enamored by all this stuff. There's airplanes going, people are running, like you're kind of just like this little speck of dirt and like this whole, this like, this operation here. And like you go walk to the front and see what's up, and the owner is like really crazy and like just out of this world. You can't describe him really to like a person who doesn't know him.
And so were you just literally just packing shoots? Like that was your thing, or?
Yeah, in the beginning, just you need like an introduction. It's kind of like the bottom of the totem pole. You start packing parachutes. You'll learn to skydive, keep packing. Cause you need a couple hundred jumps to like get to any other working position besides packing. So once you start packing, you could do more jumps and then maybe start flying camera for tandems. So you're filming tandems as they're jumping. So you're jumping together with tandems with the camera on your head, filming them. And then you kind of just work your way up the ranks all the way to like being tandems, taking the tandems, and then even taking students, teaching students how to skydive.
So that was kind of your progression, right?
Yeah.
And what, like, take me from the point where you're this young kid that's packing shoots and that's all you're doing, and now to where you're, because everything that you do now, your dad told me a little bit, but then I went online and I looked at a bunch of your shit, all of it that I could find online, and I'm like, how old are you? You're 21?
21.
Yeah, that's amazing. And what's that progression look like? Like, in your head mentally, why are you doing this? Because, I mean, that's a whole nother topic that I want to kind of get into, but what does that progression look like to where, did it just kind of naturally happen where you were there, you were in that space, you kept wanting to do more and they were cool and letting you do more and just kind of helping you along the way, or?
Yeah, exactly. So I had a mentor. He's not here anymore. He kind of just took me through the sport and was like, okay, you need to do this and then we'll get to the next step. Finish this, we'll get to the next step. Finish this, we'll get to the next step. So every few months I was constantly learning, but every few months I had a goal. So like when I was 14, it was like, okay, you need 2 years to learn to skydive. You need to be 16 at this specific place. So then was like, okay, get money, go to the wind tunnel, learn to fly your body before you even start skydiving, get some confidence. And then just after that, start flying wingsuits. That's what I wanted to do. So before you start flying wingsuits, you need to like learn how to fly your body flying forward. It's called tracking, and you pretty much have like the same body movements more or less as you start wingsuiting. And then, yeah, you just start getting better at wingsuiting, start going faster, start flying bigger wingsuits. So the more surface area you have for wingsuits, the faster you can fly, the farther you could go. But in turn, they're harder to maneuver. They're more dangerous. So just getting the jumps in to be able to fly these bigger suits is really what I was wanting to do.
How long was it before, when did you very first jump?
My first tandem skydive was I was 15 and a half.
15 and a half. And what did that feel like, man?
It was honestly, it was terrifying for the first few seconds, but after, like once you leave, there's nothing to worry about. You got your friends flying in front of you. You're having the greatest time of your life. And yeah, it's pure ecstasy, really. Just, you're just falling from the sky and having the best time of your life.
Do you still remember it? Cause how many jumps have you had? Like, I'm assuming you've,
I'm about 2,600 or so.
Do you still remember that first one?
I mean, like, I didn't really remember it after this skydive because you're so full of adrenaline. You're just on a high the entire time. You just kind of have like patches and like kind of feelings of the jump, but not necessarily like a video roll in your head.
Uh-huh. Just little snapshots from it.
So like, I remember the exit and then like kind of parts of free fall and then landing, but like, it's really a blur. Like a lot of your skydives are blurs until like you get more and you could like be more aware of what's happening and just, yeah, being more aware of your situations.
And what about a wingsuit would appeal to you? Like, why did you want to do that specifically?
Because, I mean, you see these videos online and these guys like flying off cliffs, and then like you've always had the dream of wanting just to fly. And these suits kind of help you do that. I mean, you can't like fly up or anything, but you could definitely extend the amount of time that you are falling off of this cliff before you have to pull your parachute. So, I mean, it's just like, I wanted to be a bird. Like, how could you not want to be a bird? They're pretty sweet.
And how different is it? Like the feeling of just regular skydiving as opposed to in a wingsuit?
Well, yeah, just regular skydiving. It's kind of just like you're laying on this cushion of air, but flying a wingsuit, it feels like, I've never been in a fighter jet before, but it feels like you're flying your own personal fighter jet.
There's like more forward movement.
Yeah, or more forward movement. You're just like, it's a miniature glider. You're flying like a human airplane, more or less.
I'm going to try to get all my stupid, like, never skydived before, but have all these thousand of questions out of the way first and foremost. When you initially jump out of the plane, do you have, my wife and I were actually just talking about this the other day, where we live, there's a small airport and they jump all the time. And it's one of those things that we keep wanting to go do. And one day I'm sure we will, but do you have that feeling, that sensation of like when your gut drops? So like if you go on a roller coaster or something like that, do you get that gut drop experience when you initially jump out of the plane or?
Nope, not at all. Because because all you're doing skydiving is you're just changing the relative speed of your falling. So when you're in the airplane, you're going about 100 or so forward. And when you leave the airplane, you accelerate to about 120. So all you're doing is changing direction. You're going 100 forward and now you're just going 120 down. So it's really just a smooth transition of speed, really.
So you don't have that initial, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, you don't get your stomach in your throat. Like you don't get the, I mean, I've never gotten it. I know like a few people who say they've gotten it, but maybe it's just like raw fear that they felt. I don't know, but.
Yeah, their interpretation.
But I've been on roller coasters and I know the feeling.
Yeah. That's weird. I would have thought for sure that you would, that would be the same sensation that you get at the time. Yeah. So you jump when you're 16 or right before you're 16. How long did it take like before you were able to, well, first off, how long does it take for you to not have to go tandem?
So technically you don't need any tandem skydives at all to go skydiving. There's a program that's called AFF. It's short for accelerated free fall. You take a like 2 to 4 hour ground school. They teach you pretty much the basics of skydiving and then you're out of a plane with two instructors holding on to you. So you have your own parachute, you land it by yourself, but during free fall, you have two instructors on either side of you helping you out, like giving you hand signals depending on what you need.
Is that pretty common? Do a lot of people do that or do they choose to go tandem?
It's probably 25-75 being the 75% of people doing tandems first, but you have the hard heads who are like, oh, I don't need it. I don't want to be strapped to a dude or just stuff like that.
Yeah. Is that because now you now you'll jump tandem as the person as in control, yeah. Right? How much harder is that?
I mean, it's all relative. Like if I was a new student, it would be a lot harder, but I've just done so many skydives to me that it's just easy now. It's just without second thought. But I mean, again, like when I first started it, it was challenging. You have to fly these pieces of meat underneath you that have never done anything in air before. So there's definitely a learning curve, but once you're over it, it's just another thing. It's like driving a car. Like the first few weeks are a little bit, they're harder, but it's, you get used to it. It's,
yeah.
It's
with the experience, huh? Yeah. What are some of your favorite, not necessarily like your favorite jumps, but like, what would you say you love most about all of it?
I like exiting meaning jumping off of like a cliff, just, and just flying close to stuff in proximity to the ground and things next to me. It's just, it's a really cool experience to leave a mountain and fly down it and land at the bottom. Yeah, that's kind of the best part, is just being in flight.
Is it, I can't even, like, I'm having a hard time even forming questions because I'm sitting here not just visualizing you doing it, but then I think about me doing it. I think about being in that moment and that experience. And like, I've always been like adventurous. And when I was young, I used to do really stupid shit all the time. And I always was one to kind of push the boundaries and the limits of what was probably smart or safe.
I mean, who doesn't when they're a kid, right?
Yeah. But some people, you know, like I did really dumb shit that I've got kids now. And if my kids came home and said that they did what I had done, I would be incredibly upset. But for you, does that adrenaline chase or whatever it is that happens, do you feel like that just continues to compound and you're just going to continue to try to like fly closer to the mountain or push the limit and the boundary more and more and more? Or do you know what I mean? Like, are you ever going to find that happy space where...
I mean, yeah. I mean, of course, like the more you do it, the more closer you're going to get. But there's a margin that you could have. I mean, it's not so much like the being close, but it's like the new experiences, like the being with your friends, going hiking and just like laughing after the jump, high-fiving. And yeah, like flying's a big part of it, but it's a lot of it is the community. Like the people that I meet are so awesome. Like I have a hard time just like hanging out with what I would call normal people, non-skydive base jumpers. So there's that as well. But yeah, I mean, I know what you're saying. That's like a big question in our community, whether if there is going to be enough or if there ever is going to be the final line. But I mean,
because like us on the outside, right? And I say us, like everybody else that hasn't ever jumped out of an airplane or off the side of a fucking mountain, like there's this huge portion of society that never does any of that. And then we see people do that. And, you know, for me, I'm jealous. I wish I could do that. And I'm sure there's a lot of people that think these people are crazy and insane and there's no way in hell. But it seems like there's just this progression that's continually, everybody's always trying to push the boundary, because you'll see the videos, you'll see the footage of where they've done like the next craziest, big ass, insane thing. Like not too long ago, whether it was, I don't remember if it was this last year or even when it really took place, but those guys that, they jumped out, and then the guy jumped out without opening a chute, so he went all the way down.
Luke Aikens,
and then I saw recently two of the guys that were in wingsuits that landed in the plane that was in the air and all that. I mean, all that kind of stuff where it's like, it's not just enough to jump out of something or off of something, but how much more can we push it? How much of that is like in the community where people are trying not one up each other, but because my guess is it's probably not that sense. It's just the sense of excitement and reaching the next level, right?
I mean, those types of things, like it's hard to make money in skydiving. So like
there money in skydiving?
It's yes and no. I mean, like you do it more for the love of the sport, but I mean, the few people who are out there who can make money are doing these big stunts. So like you see that Red Bull was behind that the airplane stunt, the guys flying back in.
Uh-huh.
And then Red Bull was also another part of the no parachute jump. So a lot of these guys are just trying to make money. Like, yeah, they're trying to one up like the next best thing, but mostly just because people have seen things already. So they have to like, what is the general populace gonna think of this next idea? Like, it's got to be above the next or the last one we just did. But I mean, like, there is a sense of wanting at people in the community, but it's not so much in those big stunts. It's more of just like the skills you have is like the base jumper himself or like the skydiver.
Yeah, pushing yourself, huh?
Yeah.
How do you push yourself?
Just by training, just doing lots of jumps with friends and just trying to think of new stuff, watching the videos of like what the pros are coming out, trying to emulate that. And it's just really just trying to come up with new stuff to do. Just talking to your friends like, oh, like we did this pretty cool last time. Maybe we could have an extra flip or a spin on the next jump. So it's all just like these small like builds off of the last jumps. And
is it super difficult to control yourself up there? Because you see, I mean, when you watch videos of it or anything like that, it always looks, you know, they do it so well and it seems so seamlessly and so easy. Is it, or how much challenge is there to maneuvering and controlling and flying in a sense? And
in a sense, it's not really difficult. Like for instance, to fly wings, you're kind of just laying down, like you just be laying on a bed. But to do these advanced things, you're going to need a lot of jumps. Like, yeah, it's hard in a sense that you can't do it quickly. You need time in the air, and air time is money and blah, 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 blah. But I mean, it's just anyone could do this. It's just, you need the time and the commitment and yeah, I mean.
And the balls. I don't think anybody could do it.
Yeah.
There's a special type of person.
I mean, like technically, like yeah. If you like really had your mindset to it, you had the cash, you had the drive, you could do it. But it's all just the time and then the commitment. And it just shows, the more you train, the better you are.
Does it get addictive?
Yeah, for sure.
Like if you haven't jumped in a while, do you start jonesing for it and missing it? And
yeah, for sure. Like you're just like, oh, it's been, I mean, for me, like even after a few days, I'm like, man, I could really like go for like a nice skydive, a nice base jump right now. Yeah. It's just great.
How long do you usually, like, what's the longest amount of time that you're in the air?
I mean, we don't really go for time per se, but I mean, if you really wanted to drag out like a wingsuit skydive, you could probably free fall for about 3 minutes or so, 3.5 minutes.
What do you go for if not time?
I mean, we're trying to just do like acrobatic flying. So just like trying to do like barrel rolls and like flying like on your back and on your belly. Like, so just belly to earth, belly to sky. Just doing sharp turns. So just really just whatever you want to have fun.
I was like, going to say, it sounds like you're just playing like whatever yeah. you want to play around with and have fun with. So it's
like, oh, we want to like have a slow skydive. We'll do a slow skydive. We want to like go head down or like just go super fast. We'll do that. It's a playground really.
And then you base jump as well, right?
Yeah.
So explain to people who may not know, and I don't know how they can't know because it's been around for a really long time, but what's the difference between skydiving and base jumping?
So skydiving, you're out of an airplane, and then base jumping, it's fixed object jumping. And so base is an acronym that stands for building, antenna, span, or earth.
Building, antenna, and then what's S?
Span. So span like a bridge.
Oh, okay.
And then earth.
And how long before you started doing that?
I had been skydiving for about 2 years. And I'd accumulated around 1,000 jumps before I started base jumping.
Is that a requirement or?
No, I mean like.
Like is base jumping as controlled as skydiving?
No. It's kind of more like the Wild West.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you're just, okay, you bought a rig. you have a parachute and a backpack. You could jump off pretty much anything that's high enough as long as you can get away from the cops and
yeah.
other stuff really.
And was that always something that you wanted to do too? Or was it kind of the natural progression?
Yeah, it was the natural progression because you need to be base jumping to wingsuit. Or not to wingsuit, but you need to, if you want a wingsuit base jump, you need to be a base jumper first.
I mean, it seems like a silly question, but when you're standing there, whether it's, I mean, my guess is out of an airplane is going to feel easier and be easier. It's going to feel a lot different than...
There's definitely more of an element to safety to skydiving. You have a lot more time to deal with malfunctions and... You're not next to anything.
Yeah, but even like, I mean, like that whole thing, like psychologically, like if I'm standing on the edge of a cliff or off of a bridge or something like that, like you have so much contextual looking at what you're on, seeing the, you know, the ground below you, the structure, whatever it is that you're about to jump off of. Like how challenging is that to be in that mental space and make that decision to jump or to even really think about it anymore?
I wouldn't... It's... it's hard to put words to, but I mean, each time you're on the edge, more for me, it's base jumping. When I'm on the edge of an object, I'm more just like not necessarily scared, but like kind of just like anxious, and like you're just in like this weird limbo zone of like not quite terrified, but not quite excited. but like as soon as you leave the object and like everything is gone right, you relax into it. You're like, oh, okay, like everything's fine.
As soon as you jump.
Yeah. So just crossing the threshold is really where you get to like the height of your emotions, and also on landing.
Yeah. Have you ever, like in that moment, in that, because it's, I kind of know what you're talking about, because I think people in general have that experience in regards to a bunch of different things, right? Yeah. It's probably heightened if you're jumping off of something, but there seems like there's that space where you could either go one way or the other, right?
Exactly.
Things are getting so intense and so focused in a sense, and you either have to choose to go or not to go, or to turn or not to turn, or whatever the case may be. Do you ever get stuck in that space? Have you ever had those times where you're like, shit, I can't do it, or it becomes too much?
I mean, not necessarily because of like the emotions I'm feeling, but it's more of like the conditions on the jump. Like if you get to the exit point and it's too windy, or like the point where you push off is too slippery, or just any real kind of like threat to your own survival and safety, you're going to step back and be like, okay, like, is this jump really worth it? Like I could just walk down and like, go like talk to my friends and just hang out. Like I'm not really missing anything if I jump right now.
Yeah. Having been in that space so often and so frequently, and kind of being able to function in that space, because a lot of people can't function in that space, right?
Yeah.
If you look at some of the other things that happen in society and in life, and when we get into those, I mean, I don't want to say it's a fight or flight kind of instinctual space, but it is in a sense, because you're,
yeah, for sure,
you're facing a
you're
lot of
gonna, yeah, you're either going to back down or you're going to push through what you're feeling and do what you have to do.
Yeah. How has that affected like everyday life for you? And do you find yourself functioning in those experiences that may not involve a parachute on your back? Do you know what I mean? Better or worse, or has it helped you, I guess?
Not particularly. No, it's like a total different situation. Like if I'm like needing to like approach someone who's like kind of like a high authority, I'm still like backed out. I'm not like, oh, I could like jump off a cliff. I could talk to this person. No, it's still
you don't
terrifying
have that,
to like,
you don't have that thought where like, fuck, I can do anything now because I've done X, Y, and Z.
No, I've done this already.
Not at all. Really? Like, yeah. I would think you would. Like, I would think at least, you know, that whole idea that I faced this fear so many times, and you know, and maybe it's not a fear anymore.
But
maybe.
It's a different fear though. It's like, it's a different zone in your brain.
Yeah, that's true.
Because like in base jumping, it's pretty much you versus yourself. Like the only outcome is like is your actions. Like for me, like approaching people, there's so many different situations that could happen that I'm not in control of. So that's kind of where my fear comes from in that.
Yeah. Do you like the control aspect of that? It's just up to you.
Yeah, for sure. Like I don't have to rely on anybody. Like if I hurt myself or I die, it's on me. Like there's no question to it, really. But like, yeah, if I were to like die in a car crash, I would be pissed. I would be mad. But I mean, yeah, if it was my fault, it's my fault. I mean, like it would suck to die early, but you know, the road to it would have been worth it in my eyes.
Do you think about it much when you're up there?
Yeah, for sure. I've had like at least 20 of my close friends like die and not be here anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, it's tough, but it's just flying is so worth it. And it's, I mean, yeah, I think about it all the time. It's super weird to think of your own mortality as, yeah, just.
What do you think about it? Like, tell me your take on on death, and not necessarily like the meaning of life and what happens when we die, but like, how do you rationalize it in your head to where you are able to continue to do it even after you lose people? Do you know what I mean? People that you love and care about, your friends
and
stuff.
Yeah, so we have a list called the BFL, or the base fatality list, and it's kind of a detailed description of how like every person who's died base jumping has died. And if you look back on that list, every single thing is human error. I mean, in the beginning, like gear was killing people. Like it was a new sport. Like we hadn't figured it out yet. But in recent years, like if you look back at the last 20 deaths, it's all human error. People just aren't training enough. Like they're jumping in bad conditions, or just a number of things, and that kind of
stuff that's kind of controllable, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, if you just have a level head, you could base jump. I don't want to say you could base jump forever, because things do happen that are out of your hand, like out of your control. But you could base jump for a long time and get away with it. But you have to be on top of your stuff.
So is that kind of how you rationalize it, in a sense?
Yeah, exactly. Like you have to train. Like you have to be on top of. You have to be on top of your shit. Like if you're not skydiving, like at least like 40 to 50 times a month, you probably shouldn't be base jumping. Like you need the currency of skydiving to be able to even think about base jumping, because like skydiving is like level one. It's kind of like junior high school or high school, I guess, and then base jumping is like college. That's the real world. And like if you fuck up base jumping, you're fucked. Like you could there's a lot of things you could do in skydiving and get away with bad decisions or just making simple mistakes. But base jumping, it's,
you get one shot at it.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, you've only got one chute too, right? Like yeah. Most of the time when you skydive, you've got two chutes, yeah. Right?
And then base jumping, yeah, it's a single parachute system. You're only jumping with one parachute.
Yeah. What is, because have you had the chance to travel around, right? So yeah. You've gone places. What's your favorite places to kind of go and jump? And
well, I've only ever been to Italy and Switzerland outside of the United States to base jump. But I mean, I'm kind of torn in between the two. Like the flying is great in both places, but I would have to say Italy more just because the food is amazing and cheap. Switzerland it's a great place to fly. There's great like access to jumps, but the food, man, it's so expensive. And oh, Italy's great.
What about here in the U.S.?
They don't have the same like respect to mountaineering here in the States. So, mm-hmm. I mean, like 90%, 95% of the base jumps we do here are illegal.
Really?
Yeah.
And is it because you're jumping off of like, you know, national parks or stuff like that? Or
so, yeah, most like big mountains and beautiful places are national parks. And in the national parks, they have like what's called the air delivery law, which doesn't allow you to, I mean, it was made, I think, probably back in before World War II. They just didn't want them to be like dropping in supplies via parachutes.
And that's the law that they use to make it illegal?
Yeah, exactly.
I love that. That's like such an outdated.
So antiquated.
Yeah.
Movie. Yeah.
That's how it is though, right? They're like, what can we, that one sounds good. We'll use that.
Yeah, so you're delivering yourselves via parachutes. So that's illegal.
Does that add to the excitement of it though sometimes?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like sneaking around is kind of fun, but I mean, like it's great to be able to like base jump in the open. Like if you're sneaking around doing stuff, you're doing it in low light. You're trying not to be seen. So there's the added danger of just not seeing stuff clearly. Like you need to be seeing everything in these, like when you're flying like this. Like two people like a few years ago just died in Yosemite. What we think was jumping just in low light conditions, not seeing what they needed to see, and just both impacted at the same time or near the same time.
I can't even imagine. Like how, I don't know how that, I guess I do, because I'm thinking, I don't know how that thought doesn't cross your mind when you're jumping off of stuff, but I mean, I can think of plenty of times where.
Oh, it's there the whole time.
Yeah.
And like we definitely joke about it. Like we're pretty like callous to death, and like it's like kind of a dark humor in like the base jumping skydiving world.
Yeah. You almost have to, right?
Yeah. I mean, like if you're just going to be mopey about death all the time, you're just not going to be happy ever in skydiving and base jumping.
Yeah. What is, at this point, so you said you've had about 2,600, right? Can you think of like your favorite experience that you've had?
I mean, I hear that all the time, and I never have an answer for it. I'll think back and have a jump that I think was super awesome, but not one particularly. I mean,
what's one that you're most proud of? Like something that you've done at this point that you're like, that's fucking badass. Like I did that.
On my last trip, in Switzerland, this place called Waldenstadt, there's this like a string of jumps really close to each other. And just, I spent a few days there and just really got to bang out some nice, like really big mountain jumps. And yeah, it was super cool. Like my first, what we call it, terrain flying, like flying down a mountain instead of flying like next to a wall. So I got like my first taste of that, which is really cool. It's like flying down trenches and like through trees. And
is that like the, cause you see a lot of footage, and I don't know if it's in Switzerland, but it's like, Is that like the place that people would go? Because I'm terrible. Like, you see a lot of this footage. You have no fucking idea what footage I'm talking about. But mountain terrain, huge ass fucking cliff up in the middle of fucking nowhere, and you got to jump off of it, and then you get to fly down the mountain. Like, is that the classic place that?
Yeah, you know, just like pretty much anywhere in the European Alps, like Switzerland is good. France, Italy.
Is there some like notorious place though, or am I up in the night?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of notorious places. It just depends on who you're asking, really. But yeah, like there's an area in Switzerland, it's called Lauterbrunnen. There's like a lot of jumps around there. And so it's like a valley that you kind of just can more or less learn the ropes of base jumping and get started and just work your way out of it, or not out of it, but just to other bigger mountains and more technical flights. And
like, what's the next thing that you want to do with it? Do you know what I mean? Like, what's your dream place that you haven't had a chance to go yet? Or
I don't really necessarily have like a dream place. There's just like, it's kind of just like things you just want to tick off, flights you want to tick off. I'd like to go back to Italy. Last time I was there this past late summer, I guess. I got a lot of weather, so I was probably down for like a week and a half of just not flying, kind of just looking at the clouds and rain and hoping they would open up. So I'd like to go back there, explore a little bit more, get some jumps that I didn't get to do. And France is a good one as well. France has lots of nice flights. But you got to work for those ones. A lot of the jumps in France you're hiking for, like 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah. I think that's one thing that people don't realize. Like we watch these, or we see this, or we hear about it, and you're like, oh, they must have just, you know, helicopter came in and dropped them off the top of the mountain and then they jumped off of it.
Yeah. Like, we're all broke. So helicopter rides are rare. So most we're all
time you're hiking up the mountain.
Yeah. Just hiking up with a backpack on your back. And
what do you do with all your shit?
So we try to just pack as light as possible. I just have my parachute and my wingsuit in my bag, some water, maybe some snacks. I have some hiking poles that I'll fold up and like stash in my wingsuit. They have pockets, just for stashing shit like that. So like from my knees down, I have pockets for my hiking pole. So I'll stick those in there. I have like a collapsible water bottle. So I'll like roll that up, put it in my pocket. My backpack fits underneath my parachute, so I'll just wear that, my parachute over it. You're kind of just loaded down with stuff, and then
you take it all with you when you jump.
Yeah. And that's like light too. That's just like a day hike. I know people who like bring like rope and like crampons and like sleeping bags.
And are they jumping with that shit as well?
Yeah. They're like loaded down.
And in wingsuits too?
Yeah.
Does that not affect it? Like, does that make it way more difficult?
Not once you're flying, but like it depends. I mean, depending on where you pack your stuff, like you could definitely be limited with range of motion.
Off balance, right?
Yeah.
Do you ever have like trippy, weird experiences in the process of this? Like when you're, whether it's in the process of flying down the mountain or, you know, just jumped out of a plane or something like that. Do you ever have experiences that... I don't even know how to describe it, or I don't even know how to verbalize it, but do you know what I mean? Like, do you ever have bizarre shit happen that you can't necessarily explain, but you...
Not quite. No. I mean, like, yeah, no, not really. I mean, like...
So I am up in the night. I don't know what I'm talking about.
I've, like, flown past balloons and stuff before, but, like, nothing, like, spiritual or, like, any like, insightful moments.
Yeah.
Because like you're so in the moment that there's nothing else to think about besides what you're doing. So like I'm never like flying like, should I make a sandwich for lunch? Like, no, I'm like, okay, like there's my next checkpoint. I got to fly around that tree and I got to like see that tree and I got to like, go around that tree. So you're like, it's in the moment as you could ever be. And that's kind of why I like it so much. Like, it's almost like a meditation. You can't think about anything else or else you might fuck up.
Do you meditate or at least try sometimes?
I mean, I've tried, but I can't just like sit down. And...
You got to do it up in the sky, huh?
Yeah.
What else do you do? Like, do you do anything else fun and exciting?
I like I'm kind of like a newer climber. So I just did like my first like multi-pitch climbing route the other week in Yosemite. That was pretty cool. I pretty much just skydive. It's my life. Skydive and base jump. just working for the next flight.
Yeah. And you you instruct and you do all those, like, what else do you do in the space of not just jumping yourself, but
So just there's a lot of different types of disciplines in skydiving. Wingsuiting is probably one of, or is my favorite. And then there's also a discipline called swooping, which is high performance parachute flying, where you're starting like a turn on like a, so you have a really small parachute, it's really fast, high performance, and you're starting like a big turn really high to generate speed for landing, where you would do this big turn, lose a bunch of altitude, and then use all that speed you've got from the turn to plane out over the ground and like skim the ground for as long as possible. And that is pretty damn fun too. So yeah, like every time that I'm not flying my wingsuit, that's at the end of every skydive if I'm not flying a wingsuit. So you need to have like a big reliable parachute for flying wingsuits, because you got like a bunch of, so when you're flying a wingsuit, you have like a bunch of like what we call dirty air behind you, and you need like a big reliable parachute to kind of like be able to open through that dirty air. It's, and you just have a lot more stuff to worry about wingsuiting. You like need to control your forward speed and your downward speed in order to have like a good deployment. Whereas if you're just flying without a wingsuit, you're pretty much falling at the same speed no matter what. You just have a constant variables.
When you say dirty air, is it like the momentum, or, I mean, what is it that affects you so greatly?
So when air goes over something, it gets disturbed. I'm not really too keen on my,
you're not a, like a air science, not an air scientist.
Yeah. Whatever that is.
Yeah.
But yeah, when a wing gets passed through some air, it causes disturbance, and ideally you'd like to throw a parachute into like clean air, so like air that hasn't been disturbed yet.
I see.
So like, have you ever had like a car drive by you and you feel the wind after it?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like that, except at higher velocities. So you want to be able to throw a parachute into like a no wind environment technically, as opposed to like throwing a parachute right after a car is driven by. It'll just kind of just get swirled around and,
yeah,
and stuff like that.
That makes sense. Do you think this is something that you are going to do? Because you're 21, so you've only been jumping for like 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
Is this something that you see yourself doing for the rest of your life?
Yeah, hopefully. As long as I don't get injured, or, I mean, I might come to my senses in a few years, but
it's not feeling like it.
Yeah. I'm having the time of my life right now.
Yeah. That's good though. I mean, that's when you're supposed to, right?
Yeah.
Right at the age that you're at and doing everything that you're doing. And, where do you see it taking you though, other than just, like you said, like working for the next opportunity to jump?
Oh, I mean, I would like to eventually just get sponsors or just somehow find a way to just be paid to like, to jump really.
Do they have competitions though, don't they?
Yeah, I mean they're coming up more and more, but you still can't survive on winning competition earnings.
And what is the, like, what is a competition, like what are they judging or basing that off of?
So like for wingsuiting, there's like a newer competition starting called the Wide Open Wingsuit Series. And it's pretty much just like you're either going like an all out drag race out of like an aircraft with like a tailgate on it. So you're just jumping out of the back. Like 4 people are just jumping out of the back and just going all out, balls to the walls for a speed race or for distance. That's kind of the 2 disciplines that are popular, or not necessarily popular, but they're the most measurable and the best ones that we could
compete against.
Yeah. Exactly.
So, how fast can you go?
In these new wingsuits, you could probably get about like 190 miles an hour forward speed, depending on like the upper winds. Like if you're getting a tailwind, it'll be faster. If you're flying into the wind, it'll be slower. But yeah, like 190 miles an hour forward with probably around like 90 mile an hour downward speed.
That's nuts.
It's pretty fast.
Yeah. Does it feel like, I mean, obviously it feels faster, right? And it feels way faster than just regular skydiving.
I mean, it's a different feeling though, because in regular sky, like you can go up to like 300 miles. I think it's close to 300 miles an hour. Like just straight down with like a slick suit on, no wingsuit. I've never done that though. That's not my forte. But yeah, like it's weird. It almost feels like when you're going that fast, it's almost smoother than going slow. Yeah, it's just hard to describe the sensation, like the body sensations that you would feel in flight.
Like, do you ever have weird things that happen to your body because you jump so often?
Not necessarily. Like, sometimes, like, because your arms are strapped in, like, to this wingsuit, I'll just get, like, some bruises or something, like, on my arms. But nothing like my eyes pop out of my head or, like, if anything, like, your ears get a lot less sensitive to popping, like, just because you're up and down all the time through altitude. They're always clearing, so like you have a lot less problems with like with clearing your ears and stuff like that.
Well, what else are you into, man?
Yeah, not a whole lot, man. I mean, I like seeing live music. That's one of my things that I like to do, go with my friends. Yeah, just chill when I go to the gym. Sometimes take yoga.
Sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, I know it's great for you, but it's just hard for me to get in there, you know?
Yeah. It probably would help, though. I mean, I bet if you did it a lot and practiced yoga on a regular basis, I imagine it would probably help you in your skydiving.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. No doubt. It's just, I mean, my parents own a hot yoga studio. You know that. But yeah, it's just hard to get motivated to go in there. It's super hard. It's definitely challenging. It takes a lot of time out of your day. I mean, those are just the average excuses, you know?
Yeah. Have you ever... Because I'm trying to think, if I'm 14 and you've kind of never done anything else, right? Not to say that you haven't done anything, but like this has been your life since you were.
Pretty much. I mean, like before I was riding motocross, just like riding dirt bikes all the time. My dad had got me into that young. So I always had a kind of like this wanting to do just fun shit, really. So this is kind of just like the logical next step.
I don't think so. I don't know how you go from motocross to I'm going to fucking jump out of airplanes.
I mean, you're just used to the high stress environment. They're both super fun. So it's just, what fun thing can I do next?
Yeah. Do you ever see, like, if you could plan, this is a good question for you. If you could plan like your big ass fucking Red Bull stunt, that's going to, you know, get your sponsorship or get seen, you know, 50 million times on YouTube or whatever, what would it be?
Oh, that's a tough one. I'm not necessarily a stunt guy. I kind of just want to like get paid to fly down mountains. but I mean, like if I could just get like an unlimited cash reserve to just take helicopters to drop me off over mountains and just fly down them all the time, that would be my ultimate goal.
Yeah, that would be nice, wouldn't it?
They say money can't buy happiness, but It could buy helicopter jumps. That's pretty close.
Have you ever had the opportunity to do that?
Yeah, actually, this last summer, I got to jump out of a helicopter over some mountains in Italy, which was pretty awesome.
That is way cool. Is it different jumping out of a helicopter?
I mean, it's a little bit. It's essentially just another aircraft. But I mean, there's some things like climbing out onto like the strut, like fully zipped up in like this more or less straight jacket. It's kind of hard to hang on, but Nothing too crazy. It's so good though, because you don't have to hike up to the top of a mountain. It literally took 4.5 minutes to get to like 12,000 feet.
And then, see, that's the part that I think that, like, do you ever get up to the top of the mountain and you're like, dude, I'm just too fucking tired. Like, that just took it all out of me.
Yeah, there's definitely that aspect. Like, because I'll go over there and I have friends over there who are from the places that I'm jumping, and they're hiking all the time. And like they're like waiting for me. I'm lagging behind.
Well, the elevation like, alone, right?
Yeah, like I'm we're at sea level here. I've lived at sea level my whole life. Yeah. These guys are constantly at 4,000 feet, like as is their baseline.
Yeah.
So like they come down here and like, oh, like how do you not, like, it's so easy to breathe here. I can do anything. I'm like, man, this is normal.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I've definitely like jumped and had like both my legs go into a cramp and like, like, okay, well, I guess we're just like riding the cramp out for this one.
Gosh, that sucks.
Yeah, for sure. Like, it's definitely not fun to like be thinking about your legs cramping the entire time and how much it hurts. And
what's the scariest thing that you've ever had happen to you up in the air?
That's also a question I get a lot, and I try to like be as safety conscious as I can. But yeah, nothing too bad. I mean, like I've had a couple times where I've like pulled a little bit too low, but nothing like that was like out of my hands or like, I mean, I've seen some crazy shit, but luckily nothing of it was me.
Yeah. You've never had that oh shit moment too bad.
Like I've, I've seen a buddy of mine, or yeah, a couple different instances. Like I've seen a buddy of mine, like his like when your parachute deploys, sometimes your lines could get like it's called a tension knot. Like they just don't get deployed properly, and it could like wrap around itself, and doesn't let your parachute fly straight. It actually like will make you like fly into a turn. And like if you're not high enough, it's you can't really correct it. So I saw my friend open and then like spin into the ground with his parachute, which is pretty gnarly. And then I saw like another friend, like, so like sometimes another instance, your parachute, like when it opens, like if you're not symmetrical in your harness, it'll kind of be like, if it, like it twists up, like you would be on like a swing set. And like his parachute was flying back at the mountain. And like, I saw him like land in trees and like, he almost like broke his femur hitting the tree. So like you see some gnarly stuff.
Have you ever broken anything?
Yeah. Like I broke my wrist swooping. But like, it wasn't because like I hit the ground or anything. Well, I did hit the ground, obviously, but like I didn't turn too low and like bounce off the ground. I just like was flying really fast and hit some weeds that were really tall and didn't like sit down properly and went head over heels and hit my wrist on the floor. Took all the impact and just pretty much broke it.
Don't they say it's like only a matter of time? Like it's not something that you. I mean, can you jump without eventually at some point breaking something? I feel like it's like riding a motorcycle. Like they say it's only a matter of time when you ride a motorcycle before you get into an accident.
I mean, then it's like also the argument of like, it's who's riding the motorcycle.
That's true.
Like I know people who are so conservative and like won't get a smaller parachute just for that sake. I think they're just scared. But yeah, like you could do skydiving rather safely. I mean, base jumping's a different issue, but you could get away without hurting yourself for a long time skydiving. Like before I started flying fast parachutes, I had never hurt myself or even come close to hurting myself skydiving. Like you get bruises here and there, but it's not like you're out for a while.
Yeah, it's nothing major. So give us some pieces of advice for people that. What would you tell somebody if they were interested in jumping? Like, what are some do's and don'ts or some, even if they just wanted to get started?
I mean, if you want to just get started, just go online, look up, it's these places you called skydiving or go skydiving are called drop zones. Just look up your local drop zone. Start AFF, talk to the drop zone on the phone. That's a good thing. They have pretty much unlimited answers to these questions that you have. they answer them 24/7.
Yeah.
So they're used to it. But yeah, just don't be afraid to cross the line. It's a great sport.
It sounds like it's actually, you know, like you said, that it's actually a safe thing to do in a sense where there's so much control over, especially skydiving, maybe not base jumping as much, but where you have control over so many different aspects of it, that it is kind of not as dangerous as people like to think it is.
Yeah. Like I know more people who've gotten like seriously injured in car accidents than I have or like skydiving.
Yeah.
But I mean, then again, like there's going to be extreme cases in both. But like statistically, tandem skydiving is safer than driving a car.
Is it? See, that's the thing. Like, cause I want to go and I want to jump out of an airplane, but I'm kind of that guy too, where it's like, I don't really want to go tandem. Like I think my naivety, I think I'll be fine. I can figure this out. I've jumped off of stuff before. I got this covered. But I don't know. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
I mean, you can, of course, like that. We offer the courses for people who don't want to do a tandem skydive, but it's just easier. I mean, like it's nice to like, do your first skydive. You don't have to worry about taking care of yourself. You're just like, okay, let's just jump out of an airplane. If I freak out, I freak out. It's not like if I freak out, I gotta like stop freaking out, think about deploying this parachute, and then land it. You're just like, okay, I'm just freaking out. This guy's gonna take care of me.
I have one more dumbass, like I know nothing about skydiving question that I want to ask you. How high can you jump before you have to start worrying about oxygen and the cold and all that kind of stuff?
So I think like according to the FAA, I mean, I wouldn't quote me on this, but after about 15,000 feet, you need to have supplemental oxygen. And then I think it just depends on how cold it gets after that. But like you could go to 18. People go to 18 regularly. You just need oxygen after like 13 or 14, 15,000 feet.
Yeah.
But people have jumped from like 36,000. Like you just need like oxygen. You need to have warm clothes because you're like on the outside of the atmosphere. So it just takes some extra preparation.
What's the highest you've ever jumped from?
I've jumped from like 18,000.
And you said that people do that all the time. That's pretty normal.
Yeah, it just depends on like the aircraft and if it's supplemented with oxygen or not. It costs more. It's...
Is the aircraft supplemented with oxygen or do you have oxygen when you jump?
It's the aircraft.
Yeah.
So like they'll have like an oxygen bottle on board and then you have oxygen lines that you like put in your helmet or you have to like breathe through and...
But you don't need it once you jump?
No, because like you're through the layer of no or less oxygen so fast that you're like you're force feeding yourself oxygen so that when you're like going through it, you're kind of just like stabilizing.
That makes sense.
But yeah, I think like after 18, you need like an actual like oxygen regulator.
Mm-hmm.
Because you'll be in it for much longer and you'll get hypoxia, which is oxygen deprivation.
That would be cool, I think. Like I always think about that too. Like the, cause like the military does those really super fucking high jumps. Where,
yeah, they're halo jumps.
Yeah. Does that interest you at all?
I mean, maybe once, but it seems like a lot of work. Like I'd rather just like.
You'd rather just fly, right? Give you your wingsuit.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like that would probably cost upwards of like $10,000. Like I'd rather just spend $10,000 on skydives. I would get so much more out of it than just doing one really cold, long skydive.
Yeah. Where's your next place you're headed to?
I'd like to go back to Switzerland and Italy and France again. In the early spring, like June-ish. That's probably early summer actually. June, July, hang out for a month.
How are you going to, like, I'm trying to think of, like, what's some way that you could finance that? Like, because obviously that's the biggest issue, right? Trying to figure out how to finance this. And that's why you want sponsors and stuff like that. But, like, what are some creative ways? I'm trying to think. I'm not coming up with anything as I'm sitting here thinking about it. But,
so, I mean, I get paid for the skydives I do at the drop zone. So, just as an instructor, you could save money. I mean, enough to leave for a while. And, like, the employment's not super structured. So, I'll just be like, okay, I'm leaving for a month and a half. You guys got me covered. Like, there's so many starving skydivers looking for work that it's not that hard to get fill in. Or
yeah.
But yeah, just you could make like enough money to have fun skydiving. It's just you're not gonna like earn six figures or something.
You're not
like
gonna
that.
Be a millionaire.
Yeah, but you're gonna have a great time.
That's true. Well, thank you very much, man. Hopefully, is there anything else you want to throw out? Anything else you want to add or? I mean, hell, man, I monopolize the time asking you all these dumbass questions, but.
Yeah, I mean, just don't be afraid to get out and do what you want to do. That's pretty much it. Just enjoy your life. Don't hold back.
Yeah, that's good, man. I like it. Well, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
And everybody go out and have a beautiful, beautiful, wonderful day.
You're just in like this weird limbo zone of like not quite terrified, but not quite excited. They say money can't buy happiness, but it could buy helicopter jumps. It feels like you're flying your own personal fighter jet. It's a really cool experience to leave a mountain and fly down it. I mean, like it would suck to die early, but you know, the road to it would have been worth it in my eyes.